Hi, this is Betty, and returning with the reading for the second half of the News Gazette on Friday, May 8th. And this is in the local section. It says, A Trial Run for the New Normal, and it's by Mary Schenck. Regular consumers of Champaign County Courthouse services may never see a return to the old way of doing things. Office holders have been meeting regularly to figure out what business will look like once restrictions on public movement ease up. Next week is a soft opening, said Presiding Judge Tom DeFantis, using the retail business analogy only partly tongue-in-cheek. Since Governor J.B. Pritzker ordered Illinoisans to shelter at home beginning March 21st, the courthouse has been closed. DeFantis has been there daily taking care of arraignments, emergency orders of protection, signing warrants, and doing initial hearings on juveniles. There have been limited numbers of employees in other offices, including the circuit clerk, state's attorney, court services, and the judges and their support staff. Next week, DeFantis and two other judges will accept guilty pleas in felony cases where sentences have been worked out for probation. There will be no pleas for prison time as the Department of Corrections is refusing new prisoners. We will do two pleas per half hour with just the attorney and client at an appropriate distance with masks, DeFantis said. In the past, a judge might schedule a half dozen cases for the same time, talk to all of them at once about rights, then invite defendants to the bench one at a time to enter their guilty plea. Judge John Kennedy will also take pleas for probation in misdemeanor cases next Friday in groups of four per half hour. Still up in the air is when and how guilty pleas in the high volume traffic court will be handled. Sheriff Dustin Huerman, who has the responsibility for the safety of the building, said the front doors remain locked, but court security officers will admit those with scheduled hearings. DeFantis is asking people to arrive no earlier than 10 minutes before the hearings, the sheriff said. We are asking that you only bring what and whom you need, minimum baggage. Don't bring friends and relatives if they don't absolutely need to be there. And make sure you bring and wear a mask. State's Attorney Julia Reitz said those coming to court are strongly encouraged to bring their own mask, but she and the sheriff have a limited supply for those who do not have them. Director Mike Williams said half the probation and court services staff comes to the courthouse one day and the other half the next to keep the numbers down and the distance safe. Officers making phone calls, email, or use regular mail. We're not doing any face-to-face, in-person contact, no home visits or field contacts, he said. Williams said there have been 26 cases since the courthouse closed 6 weeks ago where people in jail pleaded guilty for probation. They are instructed by the court to contact our office by the next business day. Many are doing that, Williams said. One guy left four voicemail messages in one day. They are assigned an officer, and that officer makes contact with them. His office also oversees the juvenile detention center, where the number of inmates is creeping toward capacity. It is staffed for 25, and there are currently 18 incarcerated, 11 of which are there for serious gun-related felonies. Four of the detainees are being prosecuted as adults because of the seriousness of their charges. At the jails on Main Street and Learman Avenue, Huerman's staff has been working closely with judges, the state's attorneys, and public defenders' offices and police to keep the population down. It's working. Jail records show in April 2019, there were 449 bookings. In April 2020, there were 129. At full capacity, the jail holds about 295. There have been no reported positive cases of coronavirus among inmates or staff at the jails, Huerman said. Likewise, fewer arrests have meant fewer charges filed by the state's attorney's office. Court records show that in April 2019, there were 145 new felony cases opened. In April of this year, that number was 62. Misdemeanors filed in April 2019 were 87. In April 2020, there were 39. Reed said her office has also been staying on top of those cases where defendants have been given notices to appear instead of arrested and booked into the jail. Each police agency has certain days of the month for those who are issued those notices to show up. The state's attorney reviews the police report, and the defendant finds out when they appear, what charge, if any, is being filed. For orders of protection, also returning next week will be hearings for plenary orders of protection, which last 2 years. Those hearings are supposed to be held within 21 days of the issuance of an emergency order. Unlike the emergency order, both parties must be present. Judge Randy Rosenbaum said the emergency orders issued before the shutdown have been extended, but it's time to start hearing the need for the extended orders. Judges Roger Weber and Brett Olmstead will also hear requests for plenary orders of protection. Huerman said his two deputies who serve court papers such as subpoenas to appear for orders of protection or trials are gearing up now to serve them in cases where court dates have been set. They are carrying sanitizers, are required to carry a mask, and are wearing gloves when they need to, the sheriff said. We're trying to protect our department and the public as much as possible as we get back to some kind of normalcy, whatever that is going to be. Now, the physical changes in the courtroom. It's possible there could be courtroom shifts down the road. For instance, since there are many more felony cases filed each year than misdemeanors, Devana said the judges hearing felonies could use the larger courtrooms. Of the 11 courtrooms, 8 are the same size. The other 3 are larger. One of those larger ones is on the first floor for traffic. Another is on the second floor for daily arraignment hearings and those for juvenile abuse and neglect and ordinance violations. The third is on the third floor, where Weber uses it exclusively as a felony courtroom. Devana said it's possible arraignment court could be moved to a smaller courtroom closer to the elevator to reduce the number of people wandering the halls and free up the larger courtrooms for felony cases, including trials. However, moving the video and audio equipment to another courtroom now at a time when the county is strapped for cash could be prohibitively expensive. How jury trials will proceed is also a work in progress. Assuming that courthouse reopens June 1st, Stefana said jury trials involving only defendants who have been waiting in jail should begin June 15th. Summonses will inform jurors that they may watch the orientation from home, then be told whether they will be needed that day. Devana said the burden will be on the attorneys to be ready. These cases will be tried. There will not be 5 dismissals and 10 pleas, he said, of the normal dozens to 15 cases that might be on his monthly trial list that end up not being tried. He also noted that 6-person juries have long been an option if a defendant is willing. Pieces of plexiglass are being installed around the witness stands to shield the court reporter who is seated right in front of the witness and to the side of the witness stand to shield the jurors who sit closest to the witness. It's impractical to spread jurors out in the gallery because that would preclude spectators from having a place to sit. And Defonis noted that jurors have to be up close to hear audio clips and see physical evidence. We're still looking to tweak it the best we can. We have to get those trials done. We'll do the best we can. Locally, the health reporter is in. And the question is there still going to be a Relay for Life event in Champaign later this year? And Debbie Pressy answers that question. The American Cancer Society fundraiser Relay for Life Champaign County is being replaced by a new event called Walk and Roll of Central Illinois. For now, is scheduled for 2 to 6 p.m. September 27th at Parkland College. Whether it is actually can be held at Parkland or winds up being converted to a virtual event will depend on the status of the COVID-19 pandemic and whether groups will be permitted to congregate in person this fall. Jill Rannenbarger, one of the planners, said participation in Relay for Life Champaign County had dropped off so much it became necessary to try something new and different to help raise money for the Cancer Society. If this event winds up taking place, Rannenbarger said, it will include alcohol-free tailgating sites opening at 1 p.m., food trucks, bands, and an afternoon of activities for kids and adults, including a family bike ride, a rollerblade skateboard obstacle course, a timed 5K walk and run, a survivor lap, and awards ceremony. If it can't be held in person, she said, it will be converted to a virtual event just as some other American Cancer Society fundraisers are taking place. One coming up will be a virtual paint party at 6 p.m. on May 29th on Zoom, with materials for participants dropped off, no contact style on the doorsteps, Rannenbarger said. Another is a virtual 5K in which participants are being invited to log at least 3.1 miles while staying socially distant between May 23rd and June 1st. Anna Peters, Community Development Manager for the American Cancer Society's office in Springfield, said the organization hasn't been canceling its spring and summer fundraising events so much as converting them to virtual events. Everything is just looking a little different, and we are trying to find the right way to go about it, she said. What Peters said has become the largest American Cancer Society fundraiser in Champaign County. The Coaches versus Cancer University of Illinois would have been held in April, but this year's event was suspended in March because of the pandemic. With so much focus on the coronavirus, the needs of cancer patients may not be as visible these days, Peters said. But these patients and their families still need support. It's a very long journey for people who have been diagnosed, she said. Another article locally is The Office 2 to Get New Name, Eclectic Look. And this is by Ben Ziggerman. Local bar owner Scott Cochran hopes to renovate the Office 2 bar on Country Fair Drive and give it a new name, the West End Tavern. Cochran said the bar is gutted and waiting on a building permit. He hopes to complete the renovation in the next 90 to 120 days, hopefully less. The building at 302 South Country Fair Drive is about 30 years old, he said, and kind of a rundown place to a point I was embarrassed to own it. We need something on the west end of town, Cochran said. He said that the West End Tavern will have an eclectic feel to it, kind of contemporary. It will feature furnishings from several of the other bars that he owns, such as the Firehouse and the Clyburn, which closed in 2018 to make way for a 17-story high-rise being built on the southeast corner of 6th and Green Street. I'm trying to repurpose as much as I can. The West End Tavern will have a motto of eat good, drink better, and will serve a variety of dishes, including hamburgers, homemade roast beef and mashed potatoes, a hot potato salad, and homemade chicken salad. Next up are the obituaries. Helen Barton. Helen Barton, 92, died at 8:30 a.m. Thursday, May 7th at Hawthorne Inn in Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Robeson Chapel, 103 Douglas Street, Catlin. Clarence Brooks, the third, 61, of Danville, died at 6:04 p.m. Saturday, May 2nd, at Carl Foundation Hospital. Private graveside services for the Army veteran will be at Danville National Cemetery, Danville, Leek & Sons Funeral Home, 304 East William Street, Danville is in charge of the arrangements. Jaden Bowie. Jaden Richard Bowie, 19, of Champaign, passed away at 2 p.m. Tuesday at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. And that was on May 5th. Jaden's mother has requested that memorial donations be made in his name to the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, AAFA.org, in tribute to Jaden. Services for Jaden will be private. A drive-through visitation will be open to the public on Saturday, May 9th, from 11 to noon at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 710 North Neal Street, Champaign. We ask those who will be attending the drive-through visitation to please remain in your vehicles. There will be a private interment at Mount Hope Cemetery in Champaign. Please join his family in sharing memories, photos, and videos on his tribute wall at www.sunsetfuneralhome.com. Judy E. Cessna, 76, of Danville, died at 7:05 Wednesday, May 6th at North Logan Health Care Center, Danville. Funeral services will be at Robeson Chapel, 103 Douglas Street, Catlin. The Reverend Ryan Harris will officiate. Burial will be in Oak Hill Cemetery, Danville. Visitation for family will be private. Dean Haining, 82, of Burr Ridge, formerly of Minier, passed away at 3:05 p.m. Tuesday, May 5th, at Brookdale in Burr Ridge. A private family burial will be held Saturday, May 9th. Davis Oswald Funeral Home in Tremont is handling the arrangements. Donations can be made to the Psi Upsilon Fraternity under the memorial link in Dean Haining's name. To express condolences, go online, visit www.davisoswaldfh.com. Margaret Meg Huckabee, 63, of Hoopston, died at 5:35 a.m. Wednesday, May 6th, at home. Cremation rites will be accorded and no services will be held. Anderson Funeral Home, 427 East Main Street, Hoopston, is in charge of arrangements. Garnet Lucille Kincaid, 100, passed at 4:25 p.m. Wednesday, May 6th at Bickford Memory Care in Champaign. Memorials may be made to Bible Baptist Church, Champaign, or Bickford Memory Care, 1002 South Staley Road, Champaign. A private graveside service will be held on Saturday, May 9th, at the Pleasant Ridge Cemetery, Joins Funeral Home, 401 West Gologly Street, Newman, is assisting the family with arrangements. Francis Frank Livermore, 83, of Paxton, died at 7:41 Thursday, May 7th, at home. Arrangements were incomplete at Bayer Family Funeral Services, 406 East Pells Street, Paxton. Bill Massey, 83, of Danville, died at 2:22 Wednesday, May 6th, at Carle Hoopston Regional Health Center. Private family services for the Army veteran will be at 2 p.m. Monday at Sunset Memorial Park, 3901 North Vermilion Street, Danville. Pastor Joe Humriches will officiate. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park. Private family visitation will be from 1 to 2 p.m. Monday at Sunset Funeral Home, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville. Charles Victor Charlie Montgomery, age 94, of Casey, passed away at 1 a.m. Wednesday, May 6th at Countryside Manor in Aviston. Due to current social restrictions and our concern for family and friends, services in honor of Charlie will be limited to immediate family only. Burial will be in Washington Street Cemetery, Casey. Memorial donations may be made to the Casey VFW, P.O. Box 276, Casey, Illinois. To view the full obituary, send a condolence message, light a candle, or post photos, visit www.markwellfuneralhome.com. Markwell Funeral Home of Casey is in charge of the arrangements. James Joseph Morris, 81, of Brooksville, Mississippi, formerly of Monticello, died at 1222 Monday, May 4th, at the Claiborne in Starkville, Mississippi. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Hines Funeral Home, 348 North Pyatt Street, Bement. James H. Quackenbush, 85, of Champaign, passed away after a long illness on Monday, May 4th at Carl Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Her memorial service will be held at a later date. Renner Wyckoff Chapel is assisting the family with arrangements. Memorial contributions may be made to the American Heart Association. Condolences may be offered at www.rennerwyckoffchapel.com. Gladys M. Scott, 93, of Leroy, died at 1:28 p.m. Thursday, May 7th, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Calvert Belange Bruce Funeral Home, 101 West Center Street, Leroy. Cecil Smith, 84, of Champaign, died at 4:24 Wednesday, May 6th, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Renner Wyckoff Chapel and Crematory, 1900 South Filer Road, Urbana. Joseph A. Victor, 65, of Tuscola, passed away suddenly on Tuesday, May 5th, at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center, Urbana. Celebration of life services will be held at a later date. Hillegross Schrader Funeral Home is assisting the family with the arrangements. Online condolences may be shared via www.hillegrossschraderfh.com. Mary Ware of Danville died Wednesday, May 6th. A private family celebration of life will be at 10 a.m. Monday at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville. Pastor Joe Hiramshus will officiate. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park, Danville. That concludes the obituaries. Also locally, CU Optimist Club scholarship winners. There is Jenna Albrecht. She has plans to attend Parkland College before transferring to the University of Illinois Satellite Nursing Program. In high school, Albrecht participated in sports, National Council, the National Honor Society, and the SJO Mentor Program, and held leadership roles in the Maroon Platoon and Spanish Club. Justin Chu. He plans to attend the University of Illinois Granger College of Engineering, majoring in bioengineering and pre-med. He would like to advocate for patients' rights as well as alleviate pain, educate, and innovate as a service to humanity. Chu was a member of the Urbana High Swimming and Diving Teams and Key Club. Jaden Johnson. He plans to attend Northern Illinois, majoring in mechatronics engineering. He has reached the rank of Eagle Scout in Boy Scouts and is a member of the Order of the Arrow. Johnson played sports in high school and is a 3-time Gold Level President Service Award recipient and 4-time High Honor Academic Monogram Award winner. And the Champaign-Urbana Optimist Club has awarded $1,000 each to these 3 students. The scholarships help assist high school seniors in their educational pursuit toward service-oriented careers. Selection is based on community service, optimism, volunteer work, and career choices. Okay, moving on, it's to the crime report. In Champaign, on the 100 block of Kenwood Road, gun stolen from unlocked car between May 1st and Sunday. 2nd and Park Streets, woman battered on street by unknown man about 7:40 p.m. Sunday. 1300 block of Hollycrest Drive,